The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwin.
He's back, and he's back with a bat.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings, programs. As Bob Schmidt just mentioned, this is the Rapids podcast presented by Advocare. We will tiptoe our way through the rubble left by RSL while refocusing ahead of Sunday's first trip to Minnesota United. Mohammed Saeed and Eric Miller help us look to that encounter. First, this is former Rapids and USA defender Marcelo Balboa following last weekend's loss to Real Salt Lake.
You go back to individual marking. Guys were leaving each other. They were going to the ball. And all of a sudden, that's where the mayhem started. Now Jared Watts pays the price because he's the one that drops back into the goal. It hits his hand. Now Colorado goes down a man. And to me, this is huge. This is about taking responsibility. You're pushing guys on. Everybody's staying back. They're sliding. No one's stepping to the ball. Power slides. He lets it Azira. And you see right there, Courtney Ford is kind of standing in the way. And all of a sudden, McMath doesn't see it till the last minute. There's the game winner.
Kevin Doyle said post-game, the one frustration and the one thing that was kind of hurting even that soon after, they failed to finish off the side. A game that they dominated, they failed to have that killer instinct.
100%. I think when you look at set pieces, when you look at the way they attack, I thought they could have brought a little bit more energy, but they just didn't control it. They didn't. When they had the opportunity to finish the game off, they didn't finish it off. And again, in modern soccer, all it takes is one silly foul, one set piece, and it could cost you a game. And today it did.
It's at this point that I bring in Richard Fleming, the best part of the podcast, I would argue. You were alongside Cello for the game. We were a couple booths down, Jordan and I. Your take on the first regular season home defeat since October of 2015.
It was good for the first 85 minutes.
And then it all fell apart. One foul committed, I would argue, changed the entire game.
Yeah, one incident. And, you know, however much the Rapids were dominant, it was one decision by one player, and that player was, you know, Mikael Williams over in the far corner to make a rash challenge that led to him being booked, led to the free kick, led to the penalty, led to the red card, led to the equaliser, and then the momentum was with Real Salt Lake in the latter stages. But I think, as Pablo Mastroianni said after the game, and you know, we kind of alluded to there with Cello, is that if you're not ruthless enough, if you're not clinical enough, if you're not taking your chances when you are dominant, then you're always leaving that door slightly ajar, certainly at 1-0 and against a Real Salt Lake side whose legs weren't going to go in the final 15
sure.
minutes at altitude.
But they also hadn't won in 8 tries on the road either.
No, and so there are so many frustrations from last weekend's result, but also the performance. And you and I have spoken about results. Results is one thing, but if you see that there's kind of light at the end of the tunnel, if you see the positives and you try and glean those positives, but I think the manner of that defeat again last weekend showed that this is a side that is still adjusting, that is still going through a period of adjustment. I think the introduction of Joshua Gatt was a positive. The blow that Nana Boateng is now 8 to 10 weeks on the sideline with fractures to the lower back. Mohammed Saeed came in, so we saw a little bit from him. But I think defensively, this side is very much more fragile than it was in 2016. Clearly, that the departure of Mark Birch makes a difference. Clearly, the injury to Axel Schuberg makes a difference. And now this weekend, you're going to have a different pairing in the centre with Jared Watts being suspended. So I suspect it's going to be Courtney Ford and Bobby Burling. And Courtney Ford is a rookie. He's learning. It's part of the education process. But there were elements along that back line last weekend that is worrying from a Rapid standpoint. And then when you look at the other end of the field, where the chances aren't being taken, and if you take those chances, it alleviates some of the pressure defensively. There was that handball that was never given, controversial moment, if that is given, and the Rapid score, they're 2-0 up, and the game is done. But they had enough pressure. They had enough dominance. They had enough opportunities. And then it's an individual error at the other end that then leads to that kind of collapsing of the Rapids. The equaliser was frustrating enough because of the manner. The winning goal was also frustrating because Brooks Lennon should never have got
get
within shooting distance.
Four defenders.
Should never. No, you shut him down. If you have to take a booking from 25, 30 yards out, then absolutely take that booking, because once that team has got back to 1-1, you're then staring at kind of damage limitation. And you're saying to yourself, okay, they've got back on level terms, but there is absolutely no way they are going to win this game. The worst case scenario, we're going to take a point out of this. Best case scenario, we may sneak in a goal at the other end, but there's no way we are losing this game. And so for him to have drifted across and got to within shooting range is unacceptable from a side that prided itself on its defensive strength in 2016. So they will take, absolutely, will take lessons from that. And, hopefully that's going to give them a kick up the backside, because for him to have drifted across three, maybe four players and got a shot away is not the kind of defensive shape that this side had in 2016. So all of the frustrations came in that last 5 minutes. And disappointingly, we'll kind of forget the good work that was done in the first 85. But, soccer games are 90-plus minutes. You can't say, well, we played okay for 85,
right,
and then collapse in the last 5 minutes and give up the 3 points. So that will hurt, and it's still hurting. And I know players will say, well, we've got another game and another game and another game. But fans, quite rightly, left here last weekend bitterly frustrated, because this is a side that has been in games and that has had opportunities in games and has been up against sides that, Minnesota here, down to 10 men. That's a game the Rapids should have won. Last weekend, a game the Rapids should have won. So there's still a period of adjustment. I'm hoping that we're not saying that for too much longer. And what I will say is that MLS Cup and playoffs are not achieved in the first half of the season. We saw what Seattle did in the first half of 2016.
Portland
in 2015. So a precedent has been set.
Sure.
But I would like this side to settle. It's not made easy when Tim Howard serves a suspension. Jared Watts is now going to serve a suspension.
Schuberg is out long term.
Boateng is out.
You've traded Sam Cronin and Mark Burge.
But the one thing that the Rapids didn't have to contend with in 2016 in the main was long-term injuries. That's something that they're now facing. So it is next man up. And the question is that next man up as good? And are they able to adjust quickly enough in new pairings and new partnerships? The first five games that the Rapids have played, 4 points from that, and conceded almost as many goals at home
after three games as all of last season.
So you can see where the concerns are: not scoring enough, not taking the chances, not being ruthless enough, and not having that defensive solidity as well. And the other thing, and we said it pre-game last weekend, the leaders. Where are the leaders on this side? Where's the leadership? Where is the voice? Where is somebody that you can visibly see is taking games by the scruff of the neck and dragging everybody forward? And that's something also that needs addressing.
You need those leaders. You need those personalities. You just want a little bit of more hard-nosed play coming. We'll see if it happens this weekend as we move on. That game is gone, and next up is the first of two road trips. Very short back-to-back as well for the Rapids. First ever visit to Minnesota United FC is up first. The teams fought, as you mentioned, to a 2-2 tie here in Commerce City last month. Mohamed Saeed made 3 appearances for the Loons before joining the Rapids at the end of March. Saeed admits, despite a poor start for Minnesota, improvements have been made and the Rapids can expect an almost completely different side as they meet this weekend.
It's a new team. I don't know what people expect. Straight away, you have 11 new guys, and you're gonna, try to form a team in a big league like this. So it takes time, and now they're picking up. So hopefully, for us, it's about trying to get a result when we get back there.
Is there enough that you gauged in those early games with Minnesota that you can pass on to Pablo and the coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, most of the guys are still playing there, so I know most of them, and hopefully, I can contribute to this team right here. And that will get us a good result.
It's strange how this sport works, and obviously Nana's injury has given you a chance to show yourself, and it's ironic that it could be back at Minnesota alongside Michael Azira. What did you find from Azira last weekend that you can maybe see the start of a good relationship?
I think we read each other's play good. I think he's more defensive minded than I am, and he organizes a little bit more than what I can do. But I'm very good with the ball, so hopefully we can work off each other, see where he goes and where I mean it's worked good even for the short spell that I've been here, and he's a very intelligent player, so it's not very hard to play with him.
How much is emotion is part of the game? How much is that going to be elevated this weekend because you're going back to a former club, albeit there for a few months? And how much have you got to kind of try and keep that in check a little bit?
I mean, you know, a lot of the players there. You've been with them for 3 months, nearly every day, and of course, it's a lot of emotions. But like you said, it's only been 3 months, you know, so it's only so much you can do. But you know, now I'm here, and hopefully, I can get a result for this team and try to be focused.
How much did that last 5 minutes of last weekend sting? How much is that hurting the guys, and how much do you use that as a motivator for the weekend?
Of course, it stings a lot, because you know it's 5 minutes, and I thought up until then we had good control of the game. We created a lot of chances as well, and hopefully we can take that to this game and try to finish off the chances that we have, and give us a little bit of a cushion going into the last 5-10 minutes of a game, and make us relax a little bit more. But I think there was a lot of positives, even though we had a negative result.
And so what is the mood? And that's the thing that fans will be... fans dwell more on the previous games.
Of course.
How much does it take out of the players? How much do you kind of take before you can get over it?
Yeah, I mean, you can't dwell too long, because we have games quickly, and you play nearly every week, sometimes 2-3 times a week. So you just got to forget about it, try to take the positive out, which there was a lot of positive in this game. You know, we did move the ball quickly. We did go to the strikers. We did create a lot of chances. And it's just about, you know, the small details about finishing off the plays and finish off with a goal and give us all a break a little bit. But that's not just down to the strikers, or it's about to the midfielders to contribute as well when we have the chance to score, and even the defenders sometimes they can score. But you know, most of all, trying to keep a clean sheet as well as a team. And I thought, you know, we got a penalty in the last 5 minutes and a red card, and you know, that helps with the momentum as well of the game. You know, they feel they can win the game, and we feel we have a point to hold. So you know, football is about momentums, and you know, up until that moment we did have a good momentum, so hopefully we can keep that going to this game.
And finally, what have you seen in Minnesota the last few games that you think there's improvements? Where have they improved? What are the areas?
I mean, they've always been able to score. It's just about, you know, they've improved defensively now. They're not conceding as many goals, and that's down to you playing as a group together, you know, understanding each other, you know, reading each other's game, knowing what the guy next to you does well, what he does not so well, and try to compensate for that. And I think as a team, they've been harder to break down, which is natural, because now we're coming into the season, they played a little bit together and they know each other better.
There is Mohammed Saeed speaking to our Richard Fleming. Next, a man who was raised in Minnesota will likely face his hometown team on Sunday. Eric Miller missed the home game against the Loons due to injury, but I spoke with him midweek and wondered whether he was a little excited to be heading to his home state of Minnesota.
Yeah, super excited. I'm going to have a lot of friends and family at the game. Haven't played a soccer game there since I was 17, I realized the other day, so it should be a fun one.
So Minnesota, everyone thinks state of hockey, like soccer is not exactly on the radar, but Minnesota United sort of just took this express lane to Major League Soccer. What was it like growing up and playing the game around there? What was the soccer culture like in Minnesota?
So I think there's a lot better soccer culture than people think. Obviously, state of hockey for sure. Hockey's first. People love the Wild. People love the Gopher hockey team. UMD up north, people love all that stuff. So I think, obviously, hockey comes first, but soccer, such a diverse community that there's a lot of Hmong people, there's a lot of Somalian people from all over. So I think you get a huge, diverse culture and a lot of people that are really into soccer. Then obviously there's some decent history up there. The Thunder were around forever. I used to go watch them play at Central High School in this little stadium. I saw them play the Earthquakes in Open Cup there, and there's probably 1,000, 2,000 people. So it's crazy to think now that they've come all the way up to MLS. I know for a while they were playing in NASL, just owned by the league. So it's crazy to think how quickly they've come up from being a team that I think they called themselves a team that nobody wanted to being an MLS franchise now.
You got friends and family, obviously, up there. How many? Who's coming to watch you tonight?
So I've sort of given up a bit on the tickets. I'm hearing a lot, so I'm going to try to get as many as possible from James. And then my parents are throwing a huge tailgate, so there should be, I guess, 60, 80 people there. And they're just going to give tickets out there, too. But thankfully, it's not super expensive to get tickets up there since it's such a big stadium. So it should be a good rapid contingency for sure.
You know, I think your girlfriend may have a question of who she's going to root for in this game. Tell people the backstory of, you know, between Brent and you and actually who Cassie plays for.
So Cassie is my girlfriend. She plays for the Washington Spirit in the NWSL. And I grew up playing with her older brother, who is 2 years older than me. We played high school soccer together, and then we played together at Creighton as well for 2 years. And we actually lived together as well at Creighton for a year. He's an awesome guy. It's been super cool to see him kind of rise up. He went through kind of being a utility guy in college to grinding it out for 2 years in NASL, and then getting pulled on to having a great third year in NASL, getting pulled on to the MLS team, and now he's doing awesome. So I'm super happy for him. But yeah, she's going to be pretty torn. She always tells me she's hoping for a 0-0 draw since we're both defenders. So
yeah, he gets off easy that way. You're also going to see some familiar faces tonight, Sam Cronin and Mark Birch. What's that interaction going to be like off the field and then on the field?
Yeah, I think it's always tough when you see good friends. It's the way MLS goes because guys move around so much that you end up playing against guys you really like a lot. And so I think you got to separate that for sure for the time being, and then afterwards get a beer or whatever. But you got to for sure do whatever it takes to beat them, because that's your job and their job is to beat you. So I think you got to keep it as professional as possible until the whistle blows for 90 minutes, and then be friends after that.
Yeah, a little bit of a tough one last week against RSL, obviously. It's a tough way to lose, but training this week, how'd it go, and how do you guys rebound?
Yeah, I think training's been super positive. Obviously, the game didn't go the way we wanted it to. We played well for 84 minutes, and then it came apart for us, but I think it's positive. I think guys are looking forward to having an opportunity to turn things around, and Minnesota's a good place to go and try to get 3 points on the road.
There is Eric Miller. That interview will also air in our pregame show, as we will be live from TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis on the campus of the University of Minnesota this Sunday. Kickoff time is 4 o'clock Mountain. Hope you'll join us for that on Altitude Sports Radio, AM 950. Richard, your hopes / expectations for the weekend?
Defensively, as we heard from Mohamed Saeed, is that this is a side that's got 12 goals. They've scored 12 goals. They have conceded 24, but those were the early part of the season when they were leaking. They're not conceding as many. So it's clear that they've tidied and tightened things up defensively, but still are a threat on the offense. So for the Rapids, in the main, when they've travelled, they've sat back a little bit. They've not been as offensive-minded, a little bit more cagey on the road. I'm not sure whether you can do that against Minnesota. I think it's a dangerous game to play against a side that is very good going forward. The individual matchups as well, Azira against Cronin, Hairston against Birch. If it was me, and obviously I don't pick the team, I'd be tended to throw Joshua Gatti.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know, a guy that is... didn't get any minutes at Minnesota.
He's got a lot to prove, doesn't he? A team, Minnesota, I'm saying, that basically said, you know what, we don't seem to care a whole lot. We didn't care for you, so off to Colorado. Good luck in your future endeavors. And if somebody does that to me, I want to show them what they're missing out on.
Yeah, so Joshua Gatt is an option. We need to see more out of Shkelson Gashi. Mm. Obviously, he was on the bench last weekend, but he's not shown us the Gashi of 2016 in the games that he has played. He's not been involved as much. Do you then still go with a Hairston, a Badgie and Doyle up top and a Powers tucked underneath? We know that this is a side that on their day can finish. We saw earlier in the season, Don Badgie. We saw last season, Hairston with his assists. We know what Kevin Doyle can do when he gets the service.
Right.
Discipline has got to be better. Decision-making defensively has got to be much more improved. They've got to be tighter down the spine. And absolutely sharp and focused for the weekend. And they've got to be ruthless. I want to see a mean streak in this side. I don't see that in the last few games.
This time last year, the Rapids were, I want to call them fierce, because they were leading the league in fouls committed, and basically till week 10 or 11. And that's just sort of how they played, especially in that spine. And like you said, and we mentioned it earlier, like you just want to see a little bit of a, I don't want to say a villain, but
you need bite.
A bite is a good word for it. It doesn't happen out there.
No, and we're a little passive. We kind of step back, as opposed to last season. We were stepping into the contest. We were stepping into the challenge and stepping into the battle. And Minnesota's, I've got a little bit of momentum. They are improving. They're back home. They will obviously have the bit between their teeth. They will see us as a possibility to get their second win in Major League Soccer. They won against RSL by 4-2 a few weeks ago. So this will be one that they will be up for. Again, what do I want to see? I want to see what we saw for 85 minutes, I want to see what that for 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that
because
consistent.
We can see what 5 minutes of not doing that can do.
Absolutely.
To you.
Switching off and your concentration levels dip. And again, it's not a collective, it's individuals. And the individuals have to come to the party and they've got to be part of that collective. And again, going back to what Pablo Mascherini said after the game, this is a team that has to finish its chances. We saw against Sporting KC. You don't take your chances, particularly on the road where you may not get as many chances. And the chances are you're going to be punished by the home team. So take your chances and I just keep your concentration for 90 minutes. It's tough. It's tough to say, what does this side need to do? What would I like to see? Because we saw elements of good things in a number of the games. They need to bring that to every game, and they need to bring that for 90 minutes. It's easier said than done, but I don't think this is a side that is too far away. And that sounds a bit silly, but you know, you hold on for a 1-0 in a game that you absolutely dominated. You walk out of there with 3 points, and people will say you thoroughly deserved it. But on that performance of the last 5 minutes, people say you got exactly what you deserved because of that last 5-minute performance. So putting together the good things for 90 minutes. But this Sunday, it's going to be another test. And then you go to Orlando the week after, who's not lost at home. So these are tricky games coming up, bearing in mind where the Rapids are. I don't know where Alan Gordon is in terms of his fitness, but he's a guy that I think would shake things up. He's right. A guy that
talking
wears
about character and bite.
Absolutely. Get him on
a little bit maybe, of obnoxiousness, which I would take at this point.
And maybe even Joshua Gatt as well. I think
because I feel like he's got that.
I think he's got an edge.
Well.
He's got a little bit of an edge. He's got a bit of a swagger to him.
Hey, and if you have sleeve tattoos, I mean, it's got to be somewhere in there.
Yeah, he's up there. Absolutely. So, look, it's another day. It's another game. It's another chance and a big chance for them to try and redeem themselves.
Sunday, it'll be 4 o'clock Mountain Time on Altitude Sports on television. The first road game that you will do this year on television. But you will rejoin me in Orlando coming up on the following weekend. But as for this Sunday, 4 o'clock Mountain Time, our pregame show on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 gets underway at the top of the hour. If you want to watch Rapids kickoff on Altitude Television, 3:30 Mountain on Sunday with Balboa is with you.
Yes, Balboa is
in town. Marcelo Balboa and Richard Fleming. 3:30 kickoff just after 4 o'clock. Rapids at Minnesota United. We move off the pitch for just a moment to the Cardale Homes Community Spotlight. This week, the Rapids front office participated in the Greener Goals League-wide Week of Service. They partnered with Volunteers of America to execute landscaping improvements and flower potting for senior citizens, as well as various cleanup projects in the surrounding downtown Denver neighborhood. To view pictures from the projects, go to coloradorapids.com. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast is brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila. One sip and you know. We're going to turn the tables back, set the Wayback Machine for April 9th, I believe, in Kansas City for this one, are we not, Richard Fleming?
Yes. Tim Howard, as we know, will be absent again this Sunday, serving game two of his three-game suspension for altercations with fans at Children's Mercy Park earlier this month. I, for one, and I've been going to sport as a fan, but also as the media for many, many years, and I've never been one of those that has bought into, I pay my money, and I can say and act in whatever way I want. In other words, it allows me to be abusive in a way that I would not outside of these four walls of the stadium. Their reaction to that is, well, these are highly paid sportsmen, they should be thick-skinned, and therefore, let battle commence. Let's see who's going to blink first. I've never understood banter. Banter for me is fine, but I think in this instance, the end game was clear. Goad Howard into a reaction. The caveat that I would add, Howard should have been big enough and experienced enough to allow that to kind of ride over him. Players' Union quote, as Tim was attempting to leave the field, a fan with alcohol in hand was able to come within 2 feet of him on field level and aggressively scream obscenities in his face. Players ought to be able to exit the field of play without that kind of attention. From the stands, jeering and cheering and kind of winding them up banter, Absolutely, as long as it doesn't step over the line into the abusive nature. But a fan given that kind of access on the field is absolutely incredible. Now, to be fair to Sporting, they have said that they will review all elements in light of this incident, and I hope they do. Coming from England, the refreshing element of soccer in North America had been and has been that in the main, there's passion minus the thuggish element. And I would hope that that isn't allowed to creep into the game over here as clubs seek to create that special atmosphere inside their venues. There's a very fine line between having a passionate atmosphere and that passion spilling over and becoming abusive. Tim Howard will learn from this. I hope that others can do as well.
Well, there are five matches this Saturday involving the DA from U12s through U18s. Matches against Real Colorado start at 10 a.m., 12:30, and 2:30 on the fields around Sporting Goods Park. The U16s return to action after their hectic schedule at the Generation Adidas Cup in Texas. So the Rapids on the road this Sunday, live coverage on TV and radio. Television coverage starts at 3:30 Mountain Time. On the radio, it starts at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. Mark Bertinoli will get your pregame show rolling right then. I will be live from TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Looking for the boys to bounce back after that very heart-wrenching and gut-wrenching defeat to their Rocky Mountain Cup rivals last weekend. Richard, thanks to you, and thanks for all of our listeners out there this week and every week. We appreciate every single click, listen, and support that you give to this club, the Colorado Rapids. For Richard Fleming, I'm Connor McGahee. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll be back in between road trips, Minnesota and Orlando, for next week's podcast. In the meantime, it's goodbye for now.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.